Hi, welcome to Module 14 of SQL Server Essentials for Oracle DBAs. In this module, we will look at scalability and high availability. Among other things, I would like to discuss what are the most important scalability and high availability options that are available in both Oracle and in SQL Server. I'll try to compare Oracle and SQL Server high availability options and demonstrate some of the most interesting features in SQL Server when it comes to high availability. Before we begin, I would like to discuss what really high availability means. So high availability, the most typical definition of high availability is making sure that your database and your data and the application that uses this database is accessible for as much time as possible, for the maximum amount of time to your users. It is important to look at high availability from the perspective of the entire environment. It is not enough just to have the high availability for the database if the application cannot take advantage of this functionality. So, database is one thing, but also the entire environment in which our database works. So the network environment, the application servers, the application itself, all that has to be prepared for high availability in order to provide us with good high availability options and good high availability storage. High availability is not only about technology that you choose for protecting your database. So I would say that it's not only about whether you choose database mirroring or always on or Oracle's rack or clustering. It's also about the processes and the procedures for managing your database. So it's a whole philosophy of how to operate the environment in order to ensure high availability of that environment. So before we start looking at individual technologies, remember that there are also options and features in both SQL Server and Oracle that are high availability features because they improve availability of your application. For instance, being able to reconfigure your database engine and make changes to the configuration without having to restart the engine is a high availability option. Being able to scale your hardware by using hot add CPU or hot add memory is a high availability option. You can perform certain maintenance operations without having to restart the database and make it unavailable to your users. Being able to make schema changes in your database without affecting availability of that data is also very important. In that sense, one of the key high availability features in SQL Server is the ability for online index operations. The fact that you can perform online index operations, online index builds and rebuilds in SQL Server means that your database can remain active and you can and users can perform data updates while you are performing your maintenance operations. Another interesting option that can be used to ensure high availability of your database is index and table partitioning. Being able to partition tables in SQL Server allows you to perform various maintenance operations on individual partitions without affecting the rest of the table. Also, being able to switch partitions in and out of the table, for instance, in order to archive a big number of rows, is a very important option and allows you to, for instance, perform data warehouse data loads or archivization of your data without having to block access to the table. So these are some of the interesting high availability options that are available in SQL Server. Other options that I would like to look at include more advanced technologies for ensuring high availability and protection of your database. Let's start by discussing clustering. Both Oracle and SQL Server offer active-active and active-passive clusters. In SQL Server, the active-passive cluster is a cluster where only one set of one server runs SQL server instance, and the other one is not used. It's essentially a spare server that does not run SQL server actively. So only in case of a outage and server failure, the cluster service would bring SQL server online on that other server. You have to remember that in active-passive clustering in SQL Server, you have a set of shared disks where your database is hosted. So the active-passive clustering in SQL Server is based on sharing a single set of storage and single set of database files. Another option is called active-active clustering. And in Oracle, it's called real application clusters. Now, real application clusters is a different technology and allows for a different functionality than SQL Server active-active or multi-instance clusters. So in SQL Server, active-active cluster is a cluster where each of the nodes runs an instance of SQL Server. However, each of those instances is an independent instance with its own set of databases. They're only configured to fail over in opposite directions. So, for instance, if one server fails, the other server would take over and run both instances of SQL Server. So that allows you to take advantage of the of all of the hardware without having to keep one server completely unused. But you have to remember that from your application perspective, these are really two separate servers. That in each instance in an active cluster contains a separate set of databases. SQL Server uses Microsoft Cluster Services to implement all the clustering features. It is important to remember that you only have one set of data. So SQL Server clustering does not protect you from situations where you might lose the storage and your data files. That type of failure needs to be prevented using other methods such as database mirroring or always-on availability groups. It is also possible, of course, to prevent data loss by using the appropriate RAID arrays. Another option or set of options that are available in SQL Server and Oracle could be called standby database as a general name. So essentially, a standby database is a database that is a copy of your main production database that is receiving the same set of updates and the same data changes, and is ready to take over in case the main database fails. Standby databases can generally be divided into two categories: warm standby and hot standby. A warm standby is a standby where the database is slightly behind. So the standby database does not have all the data exactly in sync with the main production database. Whether the hot standby is a standby database that has all the same data and where transactions are committed in both the main database as well as in the standby database. In Oracle, you implement standby databases using DataGuard. In SQL Server, you have three main technologies that can be used to implement a standby database depending on your requirements and your needs. So one of those options is log shipping. Log shipping allows you to ship transaction log backups from one server to another, and by restoring and applying those transaction log backups on the standby database, you basically bring it in sync with the main production database. That's an example of warm standby database, as there is a delay between transaction happening on the main server and it being copied over and applied to the standby database. Another option is database mirroring. Database mirroring works on a similar using a similar technology by shipping the transaction log records from one server to the other. But unlike in transaction in log shipping, in database mirroring, those log records are sent continuously. So as transactions happen on the main server, the transaction log records describing changes that were made are sent over to the mirror and applied there. Depending on your settings, that mirror database can be either run synchronously, in which case it's a hot standby database, or asynchronously, in which case it will be a warm database, a warm standby database. Database mirroring has been around for quite a few years. It's been introduced in SQL Server 2005. And it allows you to keep one copy of the database. So you can have exactly one mirror database that receives changes from your main database. In SQL Server 2012, Microsoft has introduced a new technology that is set to replace database mirroring. And that technology is called always-on availability groups. And I will talk about this technology and demonstrate it in detail in just a few minutes. Always-on also allows you to build multi-server databases or multi-server standby database. You can have more than one replica in always-on. Those replicas can be either read-only, or they can be they can be synchronous or asynchronous, and they can also be used to perform certain read-only traffic. So those three technologies are the main technologies that can be used to build a standby database of your database. Depending on the scenario, each technology has its pros and cons, and you will be leaning towards one or the other, depending on what are the needs for your high availability and disaster recovery scenarios. Let's start by discussing database mirroring in detail. Database mirroring works on a single database level. So the unit of protection is a single database that we mirror between two servers, the principal and the mirror. So the principal is the server that hosts the active copy of the database and receives all the changes. And the mirror server is the mirrored copy where you will be forwarding your transaction log records to apply them there. That shipping of or sending of over of transaction log records from the principal to the mirror can be performed either synchronously or asynchronously. You can also have optional third server called the witness server. The witness is only used to establish quorum. So in case the principal and the mirror lose connectivity and cannot talk to each other, the decision on which server should become the should be the primary server will depend on if each of the partners can talk to the witness. So basically, one of the servers and the witness form a quorum that allow the mirror server to become the active server and start serving the application. So witness server enables for automatic failover. In case of loss of the primary server, the witness allows the secondary, the mirror server, to become on to come online automatically. Database mirroring is a very very easy to use technology doesn't really require much administration. Once it's set up, it works very well, and you can of course use various DMVs such as DMDB mirroring connections and database mirroring monitor to monitor the database mirroring connections and configuration and see how much data is flowing between the server. So in this demonstration, I will show you how we can configure database mirroring of my AdventureWorks database between two instances of SQL Server. I will prepare the database for mirroring and configure database mirroring, and then I'll show you how you can execute the failover between those instances, and also how you can perform read-only operations against the mirror database by using database snapshots. So let me switch to my demo machine, and I'm connected to instance 01, where my AdventureWorks database resides. In order to configure the database mirroring of this database to instance 02, I need a fresh database backup. So I'm going to take a database backup of this AdventureWorks database, and then I will restore it to that other server. So this is a full database backup of AdventureWorks, and once it's created, I can restore it to my instance 02. In order to set up the database mirroring, I have to remember to restore this backup using no recovery option. So essentially making sure that the database is not recovered and the recovery does not run, and that I do not start accepting changes and accepting connections from the application. So I do restore with no recovery. The database was restored successfully. Since the recovery was not run, you can see that the database is in restoring state, so it is not ready to accept connections. Now I can try to set up the database mirroring between those two databases. I click on AdventureWorks on the primary server, on the principal, and then I choose mirror from tasks. I have to configure security, which involves setting up the endpoints and endpoint connectivity between those two instances. I will not include a witness server in this setup, so I will have no automatic failover capacity. On instance 01, I'm going to use port 5022, and on instance 02, I will use port 5023. Configures the endpoints, and I'm being asked if I would like to start the mirroring. So yes, I would like to start the database mirroring. I get an error that says that the database has insufficient transaction log backup from the main database. The problem is I did restore the full database backup, but I did not restore any transaction log backup. It needs to be also initialized with some transaction log backup. So I'm going to perform a transaction log backup as well and apply that transaction log backup to my other server to bring those databases fully in sync. So once again, backup file AWTRN. Remember to set to specify that the restore should be done with no recovery. We click OK. The transaction log backup was restored. The databases should be pretty much synchronized, so I can try to start my database mirroring again. And there we go. The database mirroring is now set up. So, as you can see, it wasn't too difficult, and in just a few minutes, I have those two databases fully synchronized, and I'm running database mirroring using high safety without automatic failover. So it's basically a synchronous method of transmitting transactions between the servers. Those servers will always be perfectly in sync, but without the witness server, so without the capability to perform automatic failover. Any failover between those databases will have to be manual. And let me see what can be done. So as you can see, we have a principal here, and we have a database, a mirror database here, and we can run, of course, queries against my AdventureWorks database in on the main server. So select start from sales currency, that query can be run. But if I try to connect to instance O2 and perform the same operation, that will fail because the database AdventureWorks 2012 cannot be opened. You cannot connect to a mirror database. That database is not accessible to your normal user connections. So let me switch back to my instance 01 and see if I can force a failover of this database. Since I have no automatic failover, I can only perform a manual failover. So alter database AdventureWorks set partner failover. This command will fail over this database from one server to the other, which means my instance 01 is now acting as a mirror, and my instance 02 is acting as a principal database. So this is a way how you can fail over your database from one server to the other. Of course, your applications would have to follow. Generally, you configure your applications to know the location of both servers, and then the application connects to the right server, to the one that hosts the active copy of the database. Now, if I wanted to run my query against a copy of AdventureWorks database here, you know, I cannot access the mirror database, but one of the things that I can do is to use a database snapshot. I could create a database snapshot on top of the AdventureWorks database and then run any read-only queries against that that database. In order to create a snapshot, I'm gonna script the database definition so I know all the files that that are used there, and then against my instance 01, I will specify. Let me show you. I'm gonna create a database that acts as a snapshot of the AdventureWorks database. In order to do that, I have to specify all the same files, of course, with some different names and without the size configuration. So I will call them all SS for snapshot, and so let's do a quick replace, and then I just need to delete all the size specifications. So essentially, the database snapshot is a copy of all the storage for that database containing only the pages that will change since the snapshot was created. So by creating a snapshot, I'm basically creating a static copy of that database, a read-only, unchanged copy of the database. That way, I can have the ability to run read-only queries against that database. So, two more. And once this is done, the only thing I have to add, I have to change the name of the database to AdventureWorks 2012 snapshot, and then specify at the end here as snapshot of AdventureWorks 2012. And I should not have the file groups here, so just need to get rid of the definitions. So I just need to specify the files. Basically, what will be the database snapshot files that equivalent of the real files in the real database. With that, the snapshot has been created, and now I have AdventureWorks 2012, that is a mirror database, but I also have a database snapshot called AdventureWorks 2012 snapshot, and it's a snapshot of that mirror database. And using this snapshot, I can perform read-only queries also on the mirror server. So even though I cannot access the main database, because that database is mirrored, it cannot be opened, I can perform read-only queries against a snapshot that I create on top of that mirror database. So that's an option for offloading some of the read activity to that secondary server, to the mirror server. So in this demo, you've seen how we can configure database mirroring, perform database mirroring failover, and how we can use the mirror server to perform some of the read-only operations using a database snapshots. Now, database mirroring is deprecated in SQL Server 2012. It's still a very good technology that is still used by many companies and will still be used for the next couple years. But in SQL Server 2012, Microsoft introduced a new technology. That new technology is always on availability groups. It's a completely new high availability and disaster recovery solution. So it combines the high availability with disaster recovery, and it has some significant improvements over what was offered by SQL Server database mirroring. So first of all, availability groups work on, as the name suggests, it works on a group of databases. So it's multiple databases that you put in a single availability group, and you can have multiple replicas across multiple servers, also on different subnets. Always on availability groups always also allow you to create read-only replicas. So you don't need to use snapshots. You can just have one of the replica being able to accept read-only traffic without having to use the snapshot. You can offload your reporting activities. You can offload your backup execution to those replicas. So always on availability groups, much like database mirroring, but with certain improvements that allow it for a better and easier operation. Now, some details about always on implementation. Always on requires a Windows clustering service and a Windows cluster. Now, SQL Server is not actually using that cluster. It's not clustered. But always on uses clustering to establish quorum between the instances that are running in this always on availability group. Your always on availability groups can have synchronous or asynchronous replicas. Those replicas can be inaccessible, or they can be used for read-only operations. You can decide where to offload your backup operations. You can have flexible failover policy that decides when and how you and in what order you perform the automatic failover. And very important from your application perspective, in always-on availability group, you can have always-on listeners that are special IP addresses that are used to connect to your database. And that IP address can be used to connect to whichever server currently acts as the main server and the main copy of your database. Always on availability groups is very interesting option and provides a great improvement over database mirroring, although it is built on the same idea and the same foundation. The always-on availability tools that you use include, of course, TransactSQL DDL statements. You can actually create the entire always-on availability group using TransactSQL script. But there are also graphical wizards that allow you to easily create new availability groups, add new database to existing group, or add a new replica to an existing group, perform a failover, etc., etc. There's also an always-on dashboard in Management Studio that provides overview of the always-on availability group health. So let me show you how we can create always-on availability group on a set of servers. So for this demo, I have three machines. I have a domain controller that I will not be using, but this domain controller is needed for my cluster. And I have two cluster nodes. I have already configured those two separate servers to be within one cluster, and I have installed a SQL Server on each of those servers. I will now enable the always-on availability group functionality and use it to protect two databases against failure. And I will be protecting them by copying the data between two servers. So let me switch to my demo machine here. This demo machine is called SQL AW01, and it's the first node of my cluster. I can show you that I created a cluster called Always On AG Demo. That cluster has no services or applications that would be clustered. This cluster only exists so that Always On could use it to provide quorum and decide on the failover operations. So, in order to use Always On this server, I need to enable this functionality. You enable this functionality by using Configuration Tools, Configuration Manager. So, I'm going to use the SQL Server Configuration Manager to change setting on my SQL Server instance and to enable Always On High Availability. So there's already a cluster, SQL Server knows there's already a Windows failover cluster that we can use. Without this cluster, we couldn't use Always On. And I'm enabling Always On availability groups. For this change to take effect, of course, I need to restart my SQL Server service. And once SQL Server service is restarted, I can start making changes and start the wizard that will help me to create always on availability group. So let's just take a moment for the server to restart. There we go. And in SQL AW01, I will now create a new always on availability group. Before I do that, you can see that we already have those two databases, AdventureWorks 2012 and AdventureWorks DW 2012, on this instance. And I will create to the other instance to show you that those databases do not exist there. And I'm just wondering, why is it not connecting? Just quickly make sure that the other server is running. I probably did not enable TCP/IP, which would be a common problem for those two instances talking to one another. So restart this one, and I have the other server that I need to connect to, and on this other server I also need to make sure that TCP/IP is enabled, otherwise I will not be able to configure any communication between those servers. So both instances are now restarting, and they should be now ready for. They should now be ready to configure always on availability groups. Let's see if I can connect to instance 02. Yes, I can connect to the other server. As you can see, the databases are not present there. I will start always on high availability configuration by clicking new, by choosing new availability group wizard. So with this wizard, this wizard will take me through all the steps and all the things that need to be done in order to create availability group for my databases. So first of all, I need to specify the name for my SQL availability group. So let's call it SQL AW. That's the availability group name. Two databases that are available, and as you can see, I have AdventureWorks 2012 and the AdventureWorks DW 2012. Both databases meet their prerequisites for always on availability group, so I will mark both databases. I want those two databases to act as a single unit and to be a single always on availability group. Click next. Now I have one replica currently. It's the primary replica, the SQL AW01. So I would like to add the other server, and that other server, of course, is my SQL AW02. And SQL AW02 will act as a secondary replica. I would like to use synchronous commit, which means it's going to be a synchronous replica, receiving changes as they happen on the main server. And I will also make this server to be readable secondary. So I will be able to run any read-only queries against that server. The endpoints that are similar as the database mirroring endpoints, so those endpoints use TCP ports for those two instances to communicate. I can choose my backup preferences, whether I would like to offload the backup operations to one of the secondary replica. And then finally, I can specify an availability group listener. So I can, for instance, specify the always AW SQL AW listener will be the name, port 12345. Using a static TCP IP address 192.168.70.123. So this will be a static TCP IP configuration for connecting to the availability group listener. That listener will be active and accepting connections on whichever server happens to be the primary replica for this database. So basically, by connecting to this IP address, I always connect to the server that is currently serving this database. How I would like to perform my data synchronization, so essentially how I would like to initialize my other server. So this is the step that with database mirroring, I had to perform manually. I had to manually copy my database backup and restore it there. Here, my always-on availability group wizard will take care of it for me. The only thing I need to provide is to provide a share. And for that, I will essentially share my backup folder. SQL exec, I believe, is the SQL service is the name of the service account. So that's the account that I would like to have being able to access my file share. and I am now sharing a backup folder of my SQL Server under a backup share, and that is the share that I will use to copy the files between instances. So SQL AW01 backup. Now the wizard has validated all the requirements. If the availability group configuration is correct, if everything seems to be fine, if I click next, I can actually script this operation. And if I do script this operation, you can see all the steps that are performed to configure the always-on availability group. So essentially on one server, it creates the endpoint. On the other server, it also creates the endpoint. Then it takes, then it creates the special extended event session for monitoring always on health. Then it creates the actual availability group for those two databases, specifying all the connectivity. Adds the listener to the availability group, and then finally it performs synchronization between those two servers by backing database on one server, restoring it on another, backing log on one server, restoring it on another, and then doing the same thing for the other database. And that way, this server, those two servers will form a new availability group. In this case, I'm just going to run it from the wizard. And it's going to take a few moments to run since all the operations have to be done and the backup needs to be taken and restored. And in a few moments, I should have my two databases running as high availability, as always on availability group across those two servers. Creating backup, restoring that backup. As you can see in Management Studio, I have those databases already appearing in my on my SQL AW02 server. Close this. There we go. So we have databases synchronizing and the always-on availability group is created. The only warning I have received has to do with the with my Windows clustering quorum configuration, which is not the one, the recommended one, since I only have two cluster nodes. So failure of one server could bring the failure of the entire cluster. I can now see that those two databases are perfectly in sync. I can open the always on dashboard, and the always on dashboard will show me the state of the availability group. And we have some warnings here that it's still synchronizing. It should probably synchronize in a few moments. And we have a primary replica on SQL AW01 and secondary replica on SQL AW03. Notice that I can normally access the database on my secondary replica, and I can run queries against that database since that database has been configured as readable secondary, as readable replica. I can also perform. Let me see if it has already synchronized or not. Let's maybe perform some operations here. So begin tran create table foo a integer commit trun just to have some activity and to see if that leads to synchronization. For some reason, those replicas are still synchronizing. If my replicas are fully synchronized, I can perform the failover by using failover wizard, specifying which of the servers should now become the primary replica for this entire availability group. Remember that availability group always works on a multiple database level. So it's not a single database, it's actually all the databases that will fail over. So in this case, I would have to confirm a failover with potential data loss since the replicas have not yet fully synchronized. So in this example, you have seen how we can create an always-on availability groups. And as you have seen, it was a very simple process where using just a wizard, I could create an always-on availability group of two databases in just a few minutes. Let's now talk about replication as a high availability and scalability option. Replication is often overlooked as a high availability option because it works not on the entire database level, but it really works on individual object levels. So it is used to replicate data from individual tables and views. That can have its advantages, and replication is one of those technologies that can be used to combine high availability with scalability. Not many technologies allow you to perform updates and use the data anywhere. By using replication, especially transactional replication in SQL Server with the peer-to-peer option, you can replicate data among multiple servers and be able to run your queries and use any of the servers. So on one hand, you have scalability because you have multiple copies of the same data. Each of those copies is available. And on the other hand, you also have high availability because the failure of any single server will not bring down the entire application. Essentially, you have multiple copies, so you are protected and you have no single point of failure. Oracle offers several different replication options. So we have a multi-master replication in Oracle, and a multi-master replication in Oracle has an equivalent in SQL Server called the merge replication. You can also use materialized views and other options. SQL Server has three main replication options or replication types that can be built into multiple different topologies. First of all, you have the snapshot replication. It's the simplest one, and it's based on frequently copying the entire object and the content of the entire object between two servers. So basically, you output or export the data on one server into text files, and then use those text files to import that data on the other server. That's a snapshot replication, so it works on kind of all or nothing basis and does not allow you to bring incremental changes to the other server. Then we have transactional replication. That is possibly the best and most interesting option. Transactional replication is based on the fact that you can keep the other server synchronized by applying the same transaction or the same operations to the data residing there. So the way it works, SQL Server reads information about transactions that were performed on the main database. from its transaction log and reconstructs the commands, reconstructs the update statements that are needed to replicate exactly the same data change to the other server. So the changes are read from the transaction log, the commands are stored in a special database called distribution database, and then from that database they are forwarded to the publisher or the subscriber or multiple subscribers. So they are basically applied to the servers that want to be notified about those changes. SQL Server uses a publisher, distributor, subscriber metaphor to describe this to describe the entire replication process. Replication is based on publications and articles within those publications. Those articles are generally individual objects that you replicate. And finally, the third option or the third type of replication that you can find in SQL Server is the merge replication, which is very similar to the Oracle's multi-master replication. Both Oracle and SQL Server offer a number of algorithms for resolving potential replication conflicts. The problem with replication is that if you allow the data to be updated anywhere, if the data can be updated on both the publisher and on the subscriber, how do you know, how do you make sure that there are no conflicts and the same row is not updated on two or more servers at the same time? So there are appropriate conflict detection mechanisms and conflict detection and conflict resolution algorithms that allow us to see such cases. Let me now show you how we can configure replication between two instances of SQL Server. I would like to replicate some or all of the objects from my AdventureWorks database and copy all the changes from one server to the other. We will also use the peer-to-peer replication option, so basically we'll make sure that those two servers behave like peers and that the data can be updated on any of those servers. So let me switch to my demo machine. I will use the same demo machine I used for my my database mirroring demo, and I would like to use my mirror server to move the data, or I will use the mirror server as the subscriber in my replication mechanism. So I'll remove the database mirroring, and instead of database mirroring, I would like to use the replication. So in tasks mirror, I will remove the database mirroring from this database, which means there will be no more mirroring. I of course need to recover my database on instance 01. So I'll do restore database AdventureWorks 2012. That essentially brings the database online. So now this database is an independent copy of my main database. And I would like to perform replication of the data from instance 02 to my instance 01. So in order to do that, on instance 02, I have to specify how I would like to run my replication. Having SQL Server agent enabled will certainly help, as many of the replication jobs or replication agents run as SQL Server agent jobs. So I have to configure the distribution. So I have to specify how let's do it the other way around. So I'm going to replicate from this server, instance 01, to instance 02. First thing I think I need to do is configure distribution. Configuring distribution involves specifying which server will act as a distributor for changes retrieved from the publisher and forwarded to the subscriber. And the easiest method of configuring it is to make the server act as its own distributor. So in this case, this server will play a dual role. It will be a publisher and a distributor at the same time. Yes, I want to configure the SQL Server to start automatically so that all my replication jobs run fine. What should be my snapshot folder? What should be the name of the distribution database? And with this, the database or the server will have its distribution configured, so it is now ready to perform replication. I have new system database on that server, by the way. When I configured distribution, there was a new system database called distribution that was created, and that database is only used for replication distribution. So in order to create the replication, I need to click on local publications and specify new publication. Notice that you can also create new Oracle publication, which allows you to replicate the data from SQL Server to Oracle. So in case your subscriber was an Oracle server, it is possible to replicate the data between those two platforms. But in this case, well, I'm going to be replicating between those two simple servers on two instances on the same machine. So I'm going to replicate the database AdventureWorks 2012 using a transactional replication. I could also use peer-to-peer replication, but let's say we're going to do simple transactional replication for now. I can choose which tables should be replicated. Not all of them can be replicated because in transactional replication, you must have a primary key on the table that is being replicated. So let's say we only want to replicate those that can be replicated. So basically, I'm marking all the tables with the exception of those which do not fulfill requirements for transactional replication. Next, I don't specify any filters. I will not be filtering replicated data in this case. And how I would like to create a snapshot, how I would like to initialize those other servers, so I can create a new snapshot. Now I have to specify the agent security, so essentially how the different replication agents will be connecting to the database. And the easiest setting, that is not a recommended setting, but it's just the easiest one to demonstrate in this case, is to use the SQL Server agent account. So basically they will run within the context of the SQL Server agent itself. And the name of the publication, AdventureWorks transactional replication or publication. Oops. That will be the name for my publication. I click finish, and the transactional replication is now being created. All the articles are added to it, and now I can use the other server to subscribe to this replication and receive changes from one server to the other. So in this demo, I've shown you how you can specify and configure the server for replication and create the publication and articles. Let's now talk about scalability. Scalability is the ability of the database system to support very large databases and a very large number of transactions and very large number of users. Both Oracle and SQL Server do it very well. So there are two types of scalability. There is scale up and scale out. Scale up is where you basically take a bigger server. This one is easy, and both Oracle and SQL Server have perfected the ability to handle very large servers and use very large servers to handle a large amount of traffic. So essentially, by buying bigger server with more CPU power, more memory, you can run more queries, support more users. That's a scale up. Being able to perform queries in parallel, for instance, is a very important factor in scaling up. That allows both Oracle and SQL Server to take full advantage of that multi-CPU hardware you are using for your database platform. Scale out, on the contrary, is a situation where rather than buying a new server, you add additional servers. Scale out is somewhat more complicated and more difficult to achieve because you have multiple databases, multi-copies of the same database where the data can be updated. The easiest way of achieving scale out in SQL Server is to use always-on availability groups and offload read queries to the secondary replica. Another possibility is to use transactional replication, especially with the peer-to-peer option. So being able to run queries and update data on any of the servers that take part in your replication topology is a very important feature. Another option for scalability is, of course, being able to offload as many operations into a separate server. So, for instance, being able to offload your backup operations to the secondary replica is an important part of the high availability and scalability solution. SQL Server currently does not offer transportable table spaces that would be comparable to those offered by Oracle. In Oracle, you have the ability to move table spaces between databases. In SQL Server, you cannot detach a single file group or a single table space from the database and move it to another database. Another option for scalability is service broker. Service broker is a queuing mechanism similar to Oracle Streams Advanced Queuing. With service broker, you have the ability to offload certain operations to another server by building loosely coupled applications. A queuing mechanism for that service broker offers, just like Microsoft Message Queue or IBM IQ Series, offers you to build architectures where different processes and different parts of your application, different services, are decoupled. They don't need to reside on the same server. They don't need to constantly talk to one another. They don't have a dependency in the other server being online. They can just send each other messages, and those messages are processed by the other process or by the other service as they are received. So service broker has the advantage of being a messaging mechanism that is built right into your database. You can use it using standard transact SQL statements. It is part of your backup restore and your overall your database backup and restore and the overall database high availability options because it's just a special type of table within your database. Those messages can be forwarded between servers, an arrival of a particular message with to a service broker queue can trigger an activation of a particular stored proc. So, for instance, you can send a message and execute a stored proc on another servers in asynchronous manner and wait for the reply from that stored proc. Service broker allows us to build highly scalable, decoupled application architectures that can be run on many servers. So it's one of the scale-out options. So in this module, we have discussed the most important high availability and scalability options that are available in SQL Server and in Oracle. We've looked at how SQL Server can handle very large databases on large hardware, and what are the most interesting high availability options, such as database mirroring, log shipping, always on availability groups, and finally, replication. Thank you very much for watching. And in the next module, we will talk about server monitoring.